Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Maybe it's a demanding boss or a difficult coworker, an impossible workload or too tight deadlines. Whatever the reason, you're feeling pressure at work, and it's something you can't leave behind at the end of the day. Studies show that chronic stress can raise blood pressure, suppress the immune system, and increase your risk of heart attack.
Joining us with guidance on how to deal with stress in the workplace is Jane Pernato-Ehrman. Jane is the lead behavioral health specialist at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Lifestyle Medicine in the Wellness Institute. She develops and implements the behavioral and stress management sections of lifestyle wellness programs for chronic disease and general wellness. Welcome to the program, Jane. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
There are so many reasons people might be stressed at work, and what makes it even more frustrating is some of it you really can't control. So you do the best you can. From the people that you work with, what are some of the most common reasons people are stressed at work, and how does it affect them?
Well, so often it's because there is much less time and fewer people and much more to do. They have greater responsibilities, and they perceive, you know, the perception of threat that for some companies that are downsizing, that their job is in jeopardy. So all of those kinds of things can certainly impact the level of stress someone is experiencing. So often, you know, we have little job control. Demands and decisions are made from up above, and we're the ones who have to carry them out. And so that lack of job control oftentimes leads to some job dissatisfaction.
And I guess a sense of powerlessness is also something that's so stressful for people.
Yes, it is.
What are some of the ways that might not be the healthiest ways that we cope when we're in a job where we feel overworked, we're tired, maybe we feel underappreciated, maybe we feel we should be getting paid more? And what about all the other responsibilities people have at home, running home to take care of kids or even maybe their aging parents? How are people coping with this?
Well, some of the ways that people are coping in unhealthy ways is that they're eating foods that are high sugar, high fat, and salty, lots of snacks. They self-medicate, in a sense, to self-soothe through food, alcohol, caffeine. Oftentimes, people come home at the end of the day and they are completely drained and end up on the couch with the remote, as I say, mouth-breathing, staring at the screen or on the computer rather than getting up and getting some activity in. And it becomes a cycle this way.
So in terms of our behavior, we respond by doing things that probably aren't good for us. But there is also a very real physiological toll that stress takes. What are the things that happen in the human body?
Oh, absolutely. There is, first of all, the indirect stress, you know, what we're doing to ourselves by overeating or undereating, those kinds of things. It throws up our blood pressure. The excess food and the unhealthy food clogs our arteries. The inactivity makes it even worse. We're at high risk for stroke, excess body weight, type 2 diabetes. Our immune system, as you shared at the beginning of the program, is in jeopardy of either being suppressed and we have more colds and flu and other infections, or it goes into overdrive and we can end up developing autoimmune diseases where our immune system is confused and now it starts attacking healthy and important parts of our body.
Well, what can we do at the time we feel stressed to lower its impact on us? You mentioned self-soothing. And we've all been there. Sometimes when you are feeling so stressed out, eating certain things do make you feel better temporarily. It's very hard to try to manage everything, to eat right, sleep enough, and not feel stressed. So let's just talk about, even when you're at your job, there are things that your body even does to tense up. You could be clenching your teeth and your jaw. You can get headaches. Your shoulders can be all scrunched up, causing a lot of tension. So if we're really giving practical advice at the moment you're at your workplace, what are things you can do right then and there to try to bring it down a notch so that your body isn't absorbing all the stress as it's happening?
The very first thing you can do is to breathe. Our breath is the first thing that goes when we're stressed. We shallow breathe. We hold our breath, especially when we're feeling emotional, to hold down the urge to say what probably wouldn't be appropriate to say, or to hold in the energy of climbing across the table with somebody or the conference room. Those kinds of things we hold down by holding our breath. Our body uses a lot more oxygen when we're stressed, and our brain needs about 20% more oxygen than our body. So when our brain is at a deficit, it also affects our memory recall, our ability to focus and concentrate, and our energy level. So breathing from the abdomen is the very first convenient, effective, always available, powerful tool that we have at our disposal. So breathing in as fully as you can from the abdomen, and long, slow, controlled exhales, as though you were flickering the flame of a candle, not blowing out hard, but softly and in a controlled way. The exhale is a letting go. It's what helps bring the blood pressure down closer to normal range. It slows down the heart rate, and it deepens the respirations, gets that oxygen around the body. So that's the very first thing you can do. The second thing you can do is, we're going to have people, places, and things that are triggers to stress. That's just how it is. The stressful we will always have with us. It's practically biblical. However, you're going to have a physical response to the stress. You are going to tense up a little bit. You go straight from that to the emotional piece, the story behind that person, place, or thing. Oh, every time Sam comes into a meeting, he always takes us out into left base, and we never get things done, and he's a chatty guy. Every time you do that, you're whipping yourself up into the stress and making it worse. It's like gasoline on the fire. So avoid that. Okay, so Sam is here, and there's a history of Sam, you know, being challenging in a meeting. Let me just stay in today and do the best we can. We have no control over the Sams, but we can control our attitude and our response. And so staying in the present helps. We go in our heads and we either negatively anticipate out ahead of ourselves, or we relive negative things and get ourselves stirred up that way. So those are some of the first things you can do. Another is to just get up when you can, about every hour and a half, get away from your desk, get away from the cubicle, get away from whatever it is you're working on, and take a quick walk. Take a long way to the restroom. Drink some water. Go outside. Get some fresh air. Even if it's crisp and cold outside, the fresh air will help you relieve some of that stress. And just look at the sky, or just listen to the sounds of nature for a few minutes, and it brings you back to the present. In the present, you respond the best.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today is Jane Pernato-Ehrman. She is talking about stress in the workplace and ways to alleviate it. Jane's the lead behavioral health specialist at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Lifestyle Medicine in the Wellness Institute. And Jane, you've been talking about that we should breathe, that we need to stop the automatic response that we have to certain things that stress us, and then going outside, taking a walk. It sounds like what you're advocating is breaking a pattern that we may have fallen into in response to stress.
Yes. And the only way to change things is to change the pattern. Another tool that is really important is outside of the workplace, or if you have time or you will make some time over your lunchtime, is to take at least 5 minutes, going closer to 10 minutes or even 15 minutes, and having a daily ritual of calming yourself, of focused breath, just breathing naturally and being with your breath, or meditating on a word or a short phrase that resonates with you, or to do some guided imagery, to take a mental vacation and go off. Because your mind isn't able to tell the difference between reality and fantasy. It responds the same to everything, and whatever your mind is perceiving, your body is responding to as well. And so calming yourself, practicing those tools, actually helps to rewire your brain for more responsiveness and positivity. But it takes practice. you know, if this were magic, I'd be doing it somewhere else for a lot more money.
Well, you know, I remember once reading somewhere, I am a big fan of vacations by the ocean side, just sitting on the beach, listening to the waves. And I remember reading once somewhere that we carry the ocean within us, that if we can focus on our breath, if we can listen to the in and out and just count or just listen to our breath, that that is an easy way to calm ourselves. Do you also find that when you have that moment that you carve out for yourself, where you kind of quiet that busier mind, that you find that there's clarity that comes to you?
Yes. Within a couple of weeks, at the very least, you find that you are thinking more positively, you're thinking clearer, you're breathing better. You begin to automatically take deep breaths in tense situations because your body has been practicing that. This is a skill that you're building. So yes, that's exactly what happens.
What I like about this advice is that instead of learning skills on how to interact with coworkers that may be annoying for one reason or another, it's really protecting yourself and your health. And I think that is such a key thing. And some of the things that you're describing really can be done at a desk. Now, when we're at a meeting, we'll look around and see who among us is taking a really long, deep breath and exhaling thoughtfully and slowly. What are some of the other things? We talk about leaving the job at the job. I mean, it's so hard to not mull things over. Things get under your skin. Then you start telling that story to whoever's at home and will listen to you. And it kind of perpetuates, and you build a head of steam about it. And I wonder if you have strategies on just cutting off that negativity. And, I mean, it's easier said than done, but what kind of advice do you offer in that situation?
If at all possible, avoid taking work home with you. And for a lot of people, that is a reality. They can do that if they would do it. There's that sense of, if I take it home with me, I have some control here. And that's an illusion. So if you can avoid taking work home, do that. If you must take work home with you, then have a firm end time so that you can have quality time with loved ones and have some time for self-care, which is exercise, healthy food, quiet time, relaxation. Avoid talking about work issues at home, especially the negative ones. There are times my husband and I will say, oh, let me tell you about today. But we really have a time limit about that so that that doesn't become our evening. That doesn't consume our energy. And so make a 10-minute time limit that you shift into talking about, you know, the good things going on in your life. For so many of us, our electronic devices keep us connected to work. You know, there was the day, many of us remember, when you could put something in the mail and for 2 days you could breathe because they weren't going to get it for 2 days. Now you're on the phone with somebody and you're saying, I've emailed it to you. Do you have it yet? And within seconds we have it, or, you know, a few more seconds we have it. And it's a constant thing. I mean, look at how many people are walking across the street and they're attached to their devices. They can't even look up to traffic. How many of us look at our cell phones before we go to sleep at night to check if we got any emails or texts about work? What are you going to do about it at 11 o'clock at night? You're going to lie there with your eyes wide open, spinning in it, and you won't go to sleep. So we need to shut those devices off at a reasonable time and avoid looking at them.
It would seem that if we put these elements of a better approach to stress in practice, that it would improve our lives and would also make us more productive and happier, happier people to work with. Do you find that businesses are embracing this idea of helping their workers to alleviate stress? I mean, there is so much focus now on wellness in the workplace. Is that extending itself to stress management?
Absolutely. One of the things that major corporations have noticed when they've done assessments of wellness is that stress is the number one issue that affects absenteeism and productivity and wellness. And here at the Cleveland Clinic, that is certainly something in the Wellness Institute that we are working with corporations and their employees to be able to learn more stress relief and stress management tools to help them actually be well and be more productive in the workforce. And it shows in people's wellness. We have positive outcomes from that when it comes to their health.
Jane Pernato-Erman is the lead behavioral health specialist at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Lifestyle Medicine in the Wellness Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
For more information on reducing workplace stress and the Cleveland Clinic's Wellness Institute, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org.
Coming up on next week's show, actor Michael J. Fox's new TV series has brought the discussion of Parkinson's disease to primetime television. But what exactly is Parkinson's and how is it diagnosed and treated? Plus, a look at the condition called low testosterone. How common is this in men? And is there more hype than truth to testosterone replacement therapy?
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you've got a question, comment, or suggestion for a future topic for the show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. We'd love to hear from you. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on iTunes and at wrvo.org/takecare. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.